Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
The naked man has few secrets. A flayed man none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Do you?
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
Reaching out with both hands, I gotta feel the kick inside.
There we are. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a fired up Friday morning sports chat. Live from the 237 studios. Give us a call on the Arco Equipment Hotline, 706-0111. Let's talk coaching malpractice, shall we? Kirby Smart and Georgia running a fake field goal. Oh, didn't Alabama do the same thing in the national championship game? Steelers did it against the Saints. And there's one more I'm thinking of. What was the other one we just said, Cody? I got Kirby Smart. I got Nick Saban. Oh, the fake field goal, the long field goal that Auburn ran back.
The kick six.
The kick six. Coaching malpractice, right? Coaching malpractice. We saw it twice last night in the Raging Cajuns basketball game. Cajuns win the ball game 83-70. Cajuns started out the ball game on top 14-0. If you got a big crowd in there, it would have really been something because, you know, in Syracuse, they stand up until Syracuse scores. In the Cajun Dome, they stand up and wait until the opponent scores. Coastal Carolina did not get on the board until it was 4 minutes in. The dunk went through. The layup went in exactly at the 16-minute mark. What Cliff Ellis, who's, you know, got a ton of coaching experience, is waiting for, they got steals, they got turnovers, block shots. You know, okay, 7-point lead, it's like three possessions, you know, no big deal. It gets to nine, it's still three possessions, I'm calling timeout. My team's discombobulated, just going to settle them down. They waited till it was 14-0. The closest they got in the first half after that was 20-9. They got it to 11. The Cajuns built a 30-11 lead. They had two runs, a 14-0 run and then like another 14-4 run. It got to 30-11. Cajuns on top. They cut it a little bit at halftime. Let's see what halftime was. 39-24. So a 15-point lead at half. And then Coastal got a little bit of... they made a couple of shots early in the second half. But the Cajuns still, you know, kind of running the show. They got it all the way up to 21 points on a Cedric Russell three-pointer. 49-28. You built your 15-point lead at half. Now it's 21. And what do we get? A Bob Marlin special. He calls timeout. You know, Cliff Ellis isn't going to call timeout, so we're going to do him the favor and call timeout. 16-29, 21-point lead. I guess this is 22. They made it 51-29, 15-54. So it got up to 23. Somewhere along the way, it got up to a 23-point lead. But then all of a sudden it started to creep down. 59-36, 23. And then it went down and down and further down. It got to 7. It was a 9-point game when Marcus Stroman fouled out with 3:58 left to go. I thought they were in big trouble. It was 73-64. But Justin Miller makes 2 free throws. Trajan Wesley makes 2 free throws. Cedric Russell on and 1. Trajan Wesley makes 2 free throws. Cedric Russell, 1 of 2 free throws, which was a big deal because, as it turns out, Marcus Stroman was like 3 of 10 from the free throw line. So a little coaching malpractice in there. Cliff Ellis waiting until the end of, you know, waiting until it's too late. I guess when you have the ball down 14-0, and there's all, you know, the next dead ball is going to be a timeout, generally speaking, then I guess you wait at that point in time. But, you know, it did get down to 7 late in the second half. But that's as close as you got. You gave away the game. Usually this doesn't happen. You gave away the game in the first 4 minutes of the entire game. I'm a big believer in what Bill Belichick says. We coach, players play. Players make the plays. We try to put them in the best situation we can, but the players make the play. Players play defense. Brady hits Gronkowski. The players play. Coach is coach. But when the coach doesn't call timeout, that's an issue. When the other coach, and we haven't seen it this year, much this year, because you know they have not been as offensively explosive as they have in the past, but Bob's done it plenty of times. You know, it's one thing when you call timeout after you score and there's like a minute and a half left in the game and you're just trying to make sure communication is right, make sure you know how many timeouts you have left, if you have any left, and you want to set up the defense and you set up the offense the next time around, you can even have a lead. You know, you can even push the lead from, you know, 5-7 and call timeout just to make sure everyone's on the same page. That everybody does that. And to be honest with you, just because Bob's the only one who does it doesn't mean it's wrong, but I don't see it very often. You know, he did that back a few years ago against Louisville. Now, I don't think it would have made a difference, but they're down big time to Louisville. They pull within 3. Timeout! Louisville goes on a run. In this case, though, they actually, you know, pushed it to 23, but then they kind of went in conservative mode. And instead of trying to score, they were kind of running out the clock. You know, they were playing great defense, 24 points in the first half. They did give up 46 points in the second half. Chanticleer shot almost 60% in the second half. Nonetheless, the Cajuns, with a win, 83-70, improved their record to 17-11, 8-7 overall in the Sun Belt. They are a game and a half back of UTA, and they may be in trouble now. Let's see who UTA has. They had Troy last night, which means they're going to play South Al. And the other way around. They were out. They were at South Al and won 75-57. They take on Troy. And that's got to be a loss, it would appear. Or they got to lose to Texas State. And the Cajuns kind of have to win out. The Cajuns can't really lose another ball game. I thought they could. They really can't. The Cajuns have to finish up 11-7 and hope UTA loses one of the next two. And that's just to get the double bye. They're still working out on the triple buys. Texas State leads the conference 12-4. Georgia State 11-5. Georgia Southern 11-5. I'm not worried about who wins that. I think Georgia State beat Georgia Southern earlier in the year. They play one more time. I'll worry about that tiebreaker later. But the Cajuns would win the tiebreaker over UTA. UL Monroe won last night, 8-7, so there's a tie between those two teams. We got to figure out that tie, right? They split. Cajuns and Monroe split. Although I did hear something oddly enough on the way home, Cody. I was interested to see where, you know, what station the Cajuns were on last night. I guess they were on, you know, the big FM station where the women were playing on the AM station. AM station is advertising, you know, come advertise with us. You know how they said they had the local school in town? This is the flagship station announcing this, right? You can advertise on UL Lafayette Sports. Is that what they're doing? Who wrote that copy? I couldn't believe it. That's the thing. Right?
You're not supposed to rib yourself. Or maybe we finally crossed that bridge and it's not a big deal. Like it probably shouldn't be.
Again, I was always the thing. I was always like, you know, why are people putting down Lafayette? And I don't want to get into that discussion. I'm past that discussion, right?
Right.
But I always thought when I first got here, why don't people like Lafayette? Well, they want to be bigger than that. They want to be Louisiana. We get it. But you would think the flagship would know that.
No, I am certain they do know that. But I just don't know how.
The fact.
Right. How did that? That's more than slipping through the cracks, I would think.
Yeah.
But
odd how that happens. Also heard Bob Marlin do a liner. Where they got that idea from? All right, a little coaching malpractice by both teams, but again, you know, you can even compare it to LSU, right? The Tigers were down 26-10, I think, to Auburn early on, and I really didn't think they were going to lose it as long as they kind of climbed back into it at that point in time. If it got to 30, it was going to be a problem, 25 or 30, but it never did. And they came back, and they kind of dominated, right? They were down 16, got up 10. It took until like the 7-minute mark to get it under 10 points for Coastal Carolina. Cliff Ellis lost that basketball game last night in the first 4 minutes of the game by not calling timeout despite being down 14-0. All right. Big news yesterday, more national than local. Bryce Harper with the sign with the Phillies. Jason Witten doing us all a favor, going back to football, thank goodness. All right, we got Vincent Hicks, the head coach of David Thibodeau, coming on in. I hope so. I think I got the right guy. Or else we just got some guy named Vincent Hicks coming in. You know, that's okay, too.
Could be fun either way.
Right? Eitan Shander is coming in from 97.3 Atlantic City. He will talk about the Bryce Harper signing. I guess they are all super-duper excited up there in Philly. And Brody Miller is coming in talking LSU baseball. Going to take on the Texas Longhorns this weekend. All right, maybe he could be on the road already. Is he on the road? Can we get lunch with Brody? All right. Stop in, Brody. All right. Could have a live hit with you. All right, on Fired Up Friday Morning Sports Chat. Back after this, 103.7 The Game. All right, I forgot this yesterday, Cody. As I was going to talk about it, but, you know, wanted to let people know I got ahead of the game with the Metamucil back in the day. All right. Way before anybody was using it to lose weight. Now they promote it to lose weight. I'm a big banana guy. I got a healthy banana right here. What was that? I'm a big banana guy. Time for the banana. I have a banana every day. Almost every day. But here is the lifestyle change, Cody. They're closing Walmart on the thruway. Right on the way here.
You're gonna have to shop at like immediately after work now.
Well, that's going to have to be the deal, right?
Or at least try that around. Tactic.
The Walmart on Ambassador is way out of the way. And traffic galore.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I won't do that somewhere along the way because I hit Sam's. Right? I got to get the protein shakes at Sam's.
Right. But just turning off of Congress to get to Ambassador, that one red light is a pain.
It could be, yeah. When I go, maybe not. But yeah, it can be other times. And obviously, there's a Walmart up here,
right,
which is brand new. And I could get in. Yesterday was a big shopping because I was a little bit lazy and went out of town. So yesterday, and then and everything was purchased at the same time. Detergent, paper towels, you know. A lot of times I get in there $50 or less.
You just remind me, I need paper towels.
There you go. Yesterday was $100, right? Rouse's is right across the street from Cajun Field, right? That's actually probably more convenient for me. It doesn't quite have the selection that I'm used to. And, sorry to say, the prices are a little bit, you know. I'd much rather shop at Rouse's. I'd much rather do that. But there is a price difference. Right, I don't know. Is there one on Johnston? Right?
Ooh,
isn't there one on Johnston?
I lived at Bayou Shadows when I was out here, so which is right by the football field. So I mean, there was no reason for me to look, so I couldn't tell you. I would think maybe there's two.
I think there's one down there. That may be bigger, but again, that's out of the way too. So this is absolutely going to be a lifestyle.
It is.
I think you're right. I'm going to have to. Yeah, there's a lot up there, by the way. You know,
there's a Super One right next to the Walmart.
You know, yeah, it's just the next exit up. I think you're right. I'm going to have to plan to go to shopping after work.
Right, because, I mean, all you do is instead of, you know, you take a left on the service road.
Sure.
And then you cross under the interstate.
Yeah.
And then you could take another left on the opposite service road and then kind of
take yourself
home.
It's just a little planning. The thing is, though, so often, you know, I go to the gym on a Sunday morning, I could pick something up on the way home.
So is that what you do? You shop on the weekends then, for the most part?
Well, if I forget something, if I need something.
Got to run
the thing of coffee, you know, orange juice, something, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
Diet green tea, you know. Toilet paper.
Right.
You know,
necessities.
It's usually not a big shopping, especially after I've worked out. You know, I'm sweaty mess. I'm not going in there, you know, doing a whole shopping.
Right.
Usually it's a couple things. You just have to plan. So it is a lifestyle change. That's a big deal. I know Payless Shoes went out, and that was a big story. This was a huge story for me.
Are there no more Payless at all, or just the one out here?
Oh, I thought no Payless at all.
Is that the case? I didn't hear that, but that, I mean, I don't really shop at Payless. Oh, yeah.
Who's ever heard of two things I've never heard of? Kentucky Fried Chicken closing and a Walmart closing. Both are at the same spot.
This is only the second time in my life that I've heard of a Walmart closing. The very first time was to close a regular Walmart to open a Super Walmart like 100 yards down the road.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Exactly.
That doesn't count.
Exactly.
That doesn't count. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. We're live in the 237 Roof Studios. Big story, two big stories yesterday. I think the Bryce Harper story is much bigger than the Jason Witten story. I think the Jason Witten story is much more relief about Monday Night Football broadcast than him actually rejoining the Cowboys. But we'll see how that plays out for the Cowboys on the field. But the Bryce Harper story, I'm going to tell you, again, I didn't really want him for the Yankees, only because I don't want the Yankees all tied up in that money. It did not work. They won one championship with all that money tied up. Right, when they had the nice mix of veterans, Jimmy Key, Paul O'Neill, Joe Girardi when he was playing, right? 96 world champs, playoffs 97, lost to the Indians. 98 world champs, like one of the best teams ever, by the way, and no one hit more than 25 home runs. 99 champs, 2000 champs, lost to the Diamondbacks in 2001, lost to the Marlins in 2003. That's a nice run from 96 to 2003. Right, blew the American League Championship 2004. And then the Red Sox ended up winning it. And then they go all in on Mark Teixeira, CC Sabathia. And they warned A-Rod not to opt out of the contract. Ryan Cashman, don't you do it. Don't opt out. Guess what? He opted out and they opted back in. Which I don't know why they did. All right, you want to opt out, and there was nowhere else to go. No one wanted him. And there was a business entity to this as well because they're building a new Yankee Stadium. They need to fill the stadium. He opted out in like the middle of the World Series, and instead of just giving him, look, we'll sign you. We'll just give you what you wanted. We'll just give you what you were making for three more years. All right. We're not going to give you the safe face. Well, he got that long-term deal, and guess what? It hasn't, you know. They went from 2009 to what? 2016? Struggling, right? They've been good the last couple of years, and they need more pitching. And they need more pitching. As if A-Rod to the Rangers didn't happen, the Phillies go get Bryce Harper for 3 years, $330 million. Now, if you let me see if I I can't remember who. Is it Heyman? John Heyman? Someone had put all the different offers out there that he had. And as I mentioned, Cody, right, we were talking about this. What if someone came in there with a short-term deal and just paid him a lot of money? Well, guess who did? The Dodgers. $45 million per. $45 million per. He could have had it for 3 years or four. Let's see. Adam Schein, I guess, had tweeted it out or made a comment on it. Here you go. Oh, Bob Nightingale reported. Bryce Harper's final three offers. Dodgers, 3 years, $135 million, or 4 years, $168. Giants offered 12 years, $310. The Phillies, 13 years, $330 million. No opt-out and full no trade, no deferred money, which means Bobby Bonilla is still going to be getting paid after the contract is up. All right. I mean, do we do a shut up Dave poll question? I put the odds at like minus 500. Do we even think he's going to fulfill half of the contract? Do we think he's going to be there for 6.5 years? Again, I don't really care about the money per se. It's not my money. All right? And they'll probably pass it off on ticket prices and whatever. But guess who's going to be on TV a lot now anyways? Phillies, right? Don't you think, you know the national games may not change on the weekends, but you're going to get a lot more Phillies and Mets. You're going to get a lot more Phillies and Astros. You're going to get a lot more Phillies and Cardinals. You're certainly going to get Phillies and Dodgers. That's going to be a big-time deal. You know, we'll go through who all the guys that Phillies got. They got a good team. And as I heard Jeff Passan say, someone said, it's all about the next 5 or 6 years. That's really what it is. And they better win more than one. I'd say they better win more than two World Series. Back after this. More Sports Chat, 103.7. The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, fired up Rod, Morning Sports Chat, head coach David Thibodeau, Vincent Hicks coming on at 7. Eitan Shander going to talk Phillies, Brody Miller talking LSU. Remember, we do have STM and David Thibodeau, 5:45 pregame show on our sister station, 97.7, The Rewind. All right, let's go back, and we're still talking Bryce Harper, big news of the day yesterday, other than, you know, Kyler Murray is over 5'10".
By an eighth of a freaking inch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I heard someone say, I guess it was JT Brick. If he was 5'9 and 9/10, that would be a problem, but because he's 5'10 and a little bit over, right?
Tail of the tape.
Someone's got the heels or something. Like that. I don't know. Spike's extra long. All right. A-Rod signed that big deal, actually, when he was 24 years of age. Played when he was 25 with the Rangers. Played 2001, 2002, 2003. And he was really good. All right? He was so good, he was actually the MVP. He played in every game but one in 3 years, Cody. How about that? And that could have been rained out as far as I know. I don't know. Played in 162 ball games the first year, 162 ball games the next year, 161 the next year. And they stunk. Each and every year. They stunk. He was really good. Texas 318, 52 home runs, earning 35 driven in. The next year, goodness gracious, Cody, he hits 357 home runs, 142 RBI, doesn't win the MVP. He's number two in the MVP with 57 home runs and 142 runs batted in, doesn't get MVP. Wins MVP the next year, where he actually hits 298, but 47 home runs and 118 runs batted in. I mean, he was obviously the best player in baseball back then. What is that? That's 109, 156, 156 home runs in 3 years and almost 400 RBIs, 277. Almost 400 RBIs in 3 years. Then he was going to go to the Red Sox, but the Red Sox, Major League Baseball, wouldn't allow the Red Sox to redo the contract, so he ended up with the Yankees and after that. Although he was really good a couple of years. In 09, he was good. Only played in 124 ball games. There was another year, I thought. He was kind of had a good year with the Yankees in 07. All right. He was MVP that year, 54-156. Kind of tough to poo-poo that. Of course, he was probably juicing at the time, but whatever. So the Shut Up Dave poll question, I put that on yesterday, Cody, a little bit late. You know, do you think he's going to do half his contract, Bryce Harper? Do you think he's going to, let's just put that up there, Shut Up Dave poll question. Will Bryce Harper play half his contract with the Phillies? 6.5 years. 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Half of 25. I don't think so. Only because history tells us that it doesn't. I mean, Albert Pujols is stuck with his contract, right? Giancarlo Stanton didn't stick with his. I don't even think he got to year number three with his. I know that's a certain, special situation only because, it was the Marlins, and let's be honest, nobody thought he was going to get to that contract with him. And, again, I don't really care about the money. I really don't. And it's not my money. And we'll see what happens with the Phillies. And I also put it down, Cody, I don't know if we want to redo this one because we got, actually listeners now. Ken, there's just being on the Twitter poll. How many World Series does it take to justify this contract? How many World Series do you need? I mean, they've had a really good offseason. Gene Segura, he's pretty good. Shortstop for the Mariners, now with the Phillies. Andrew McCutchen, probably on the downside of his career, still okay for the Yankees last year, who was with the Giants, and now with the Phillies, right? David Robertson, more setup guy than closer. JT Realmuto. Is that how you say his name? Realmuto? How do you say his
name? Realmuto, I think.
All right. Marlins catcher. So he's going to win the NL MVP, right? And Aaron Nola. Talk about a deal, Cody. Aaron Nola. 4 years, $45 million. Harper's getting that in a year and a half. Severino signed that kind of deal. And someone was telling me Keuchel is looking for a 5 or 6 year deal. What is in Keuchel's head that he thinks he's going to get more than those two guys? He may have had a better career so far than an Aaron Nola and a Luis Severino, but he doesn't have the potential anymore. These guys aren't getting paid for anymore what they could do or what they have done. They got to get paid what they're going to do. I would look 3 years, $36 million. I think Keuchel's going to be lucky to get that. 3 years, maybe 3 years, $30 million. All right. Someone did call up. Matt called up and asked what Bregman's going to get. That's before you get to Bregman, right? You're going to get to, before you get to Bregman, you're going to get to Mike Trout. All right. That's in 2 years. Don't we think, let's be honest, do we think Bregman's going to hold out here? Or do we think that the Astros, I mean, he's really only, am I wrong, Cody? Is he in his third full season? Is he in his third full season? And DeMarco doesn't make much money. We'll see if they gave him much money. I got to look at his stats. 16. Yeah, he came up in 16, didn't he? So 17.
Right. I'm trying to remember when, at what time.
I mean, he was a year and a half in, right? Yeah. It didn't take very long.
No.
Of course, it's amazing that he answers his phone when he's in the Quad City. But when he's in Houston, he doesn't seem to pick up the phone.
Touchy reception in Houston. Yeah. A lot of tall buildings.
That's right. That's right. Same with Aaron Nola. It's amazing how you can get Aaron Nola on the phone when he's pitching for the Reading Phillies. Not so much for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm going to, you know, I can't seem to get through to the, I don't know where that proper email is to get through to the Phillies brass. I'm going straight to the horse's mouth. I'm texting Kapler this week.
Hit up the head coach.
I'm
going to
big
manager.
Time the Phillies. I'm going straight to Kapler, see if he'll come on next week. By the way, he's up already, right? He's one of these guys that's up first thing in the morning. And they're up first thing in the morning anyways.
Right.
For spring training, right? Yeah, I mean, this is Bregman's only, experience, 2.7 years. He's got a handful more years to go, right? Altuve's already signed. You don't have to worry too much about Verlander, right? Because that's only going to be like a three-year deal.
Right.
If you re-sign him. He's the end of his career. And I would think you would want to keep him, right? You don't want to overpay him. And
he's your ace right now.
Again, you know, kind of got the Tom Brady situation going where the spouse probably makes more than he does. So you don't have to overpay him. What other pitchers do you got? You kind of got all these, like, Forrest Whitley's guys and these Josh James guys. They're all young guys. Oh, it's Garrett Cole?
You're
going to pay Garrett Cole? Okay. So that's the one guy you may pay. But you got to pay Correa if you pay him, right? You're going to pay Springer somewhere in there. And you're going to pay Bregman. You know, if you're Alex Bregman and they come back and say, hey, Alex, how about 5 years, 150 right now? Though that's $30 million. That's a lot of money. You going to take that if you're Alex Bregman? I take it.
I would. I mean, especially considering.
Because right? He's not going to get close to that over the next couple of years. He's making $600,000, or he made $600,000 last year.
And, I mean, I'm sure maybe one of those California teams could be slightly closer, but I don't know how much closer to Albuquerque right. He can get than Houston. I mean, maybe Denver, maybe? I'm not exactly sure.
I mean, he's got arbitration next year, arbitration in 2021, arbitration 2022. We'll see if the Astros start locking these guys up. And Altuve's contract, I don't even think goes until next year. Let me see that. All right, you got a phone call?
We do. We have Jim on the line.
Hi, Jim. You're on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, hey, no, he did not hold on.
My bad. Sorry about that. Call back. Yeah, I was hanging on too long. Let's see if we got Altuve, because I don't think his contract kicks in until, like, next year. Yeah, it doesn't kick in until next year. Jose Altuve is making $6.5 million this year.
That's what a bargain. Crazy. What a bargain.
He may be the best bargain in Major League Baseball right now. Or Alex Bregman, I guess.
Right.
Right? Next year, Altuve is making $26 million. He's got a 5-year deal. You know, worth whatever it is. What did it say? Oh, a 7-year, $163 million contract. All right. So maybe just a little bit to begin with. All right. But the big money doesn't kick in until next year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros try to do the same thing with Bregman.
Right?
Is he going to really hold out? Of course, if you saw him last night, he was like, congratulations, B. Harper. And you could just see the, you know, like a comic book little, I don't know, what's your window or
whatever. Little talk bubble thing.
Little bubble. Yeah. Cha-ching. Cha-ching.
Well, gave Alex Bregman superpowers. He can see into the future now.
But you got this little window for the Phillies. Remember, they got off to that awful start last year where, you know, Kapler's taking on Aaron Nola really early into the season. He's getting booed, and all of a sudden they're in contention in August. And they faded in September because they're young and inexperienced. Now, let's see. They're still kind of young. Got a little bit more experience. Kapler's got a little bit more experience managing in the bigs. I mean, I saw it was a Bob Nightingale, you know. I tweeted to Bob Nightingale. With all those off-season moves, the Phillies are now, you know, the favorites in the National League East. Really? They're favorites in the National League East? That's it? $330 million doesn't go nearly as far as it does. There you go, Bob Nightingale. Bryce Harper sweepstakes. Took 117 days. The Phillies are now the favorites to win the NL East. $330 million later, they're favored to outduel the Braves? $330 million doesn't go nearly as far as it used to. Then they listed all of the contracts. You see this one, Cody? I thought this was a good tweet. If I could find it. They listed out all of the big-time contracts. Here you go. Bryce Harper, $330 million. Giancarlo Stanton, $325 million. Manny Machado, $300 million. A-Rod, $275 million. That's the one that, you know, he was not supposed to back out of. Well, that's the end result of him backing out with the Yankees. And A-Rod, Yankees, Rangers, $252 million. You know, I was told, my understanding was there'd be no math, but here it is, Cody. $1.482 billion. One World Series in that time. All right, now Harper just started. Machado just started. That doesn't really count, but A-Rod only won once, and Stanton hasn't won yet. Almost $1.5 billion spent, and only one World Series. And you know who? And you know what? A-Rod carried the Yankees in the ALCS. Matsui was the World Series MVP. Ironically, or is it a coincidence? More coincidence against the Phillies. Back after this, more Sports Chat, 103.7, The Game. All right, Cody retweeted it at Dave, 103.7, The Game, at 103.7, The Game. How many World Series titles do the Phillies need to win to justify the contract? 62% said two. That's it? That's all?
I clicked three.
15% said three. I don't know if I voted. Apparently, I guess when you post it, you can't vote.
That's why I voted, because usually I post it and I can't. Right, so when I saw the opportunity, I was like, vote, vote.
15% said more than four. That's a lot. Let's be honest. That's a lot.
Well, those are, I assume those were non-Philly fans type people that don't want to see this succeed.
Oh, okay.
That was just my initial thought.
I mean, I think three is a pretty good number. This is the Phillies, after all, right?
I mean, and long separated from Ryan Howard and Anderson. Was that his last name? Anderson, right? Playing?
Well, Jimmy Rollins.
Jimmy Rollins was
Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard. They had out Garrett?
Chase Utley.
Was it Garrett Anderson or am I?
No. Yeah, no. Garrett Anderson is the Angels.
That's a long time. And that's when Pujols was still.
With the Cardinals.
But wasn't he with the Angels?
No, that's what we're talking, like Tim Salmon.
Okay, so I'm
way off.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, Garrett Anderson is, like, 2002 Angels.
Okay. So that would have been the year they won the World Series.
Yeah.
2002.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Timmy Salmon.
I just remember 9/11 happened.
John Lackey.
9/11 happened in 01, obviously. And then the next Super Bowl was won by the Patriots, and the next World Series was won by the Angels.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of fitting.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That's how I remember 2002, those two. I remember those.
Call Chet, ask him who won the World Series in 2002.
Would he would know?
Yes, he would. They beat the Giants.
The Gigantes.
Dusty Santa screwed that up. But that's where John Lackey got, you know, he was a rookie, I think, pitching game seven. Sort of like Josh Beckett in 03. Something like that.
So he's got a couple of World Series then.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. 7-0.
Very far apart from each other, too.
What's that?
Very far apart from each other.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for him, I guess.
Well, John Lackey was one of those guys that kind of never took it to the next level. Was always kind of a, I think, 15-10 guy. Right?
Fair, yeah.
Right? He was never.
He was always on good teams, it seemed like.
Right,
though.
But he was never gonna, you know, all of a sudden have that John Smoltz year where he was like 25-5 or like 23-4 or something like that.
Right. He never even had that one Jason Marquis year.
He's kind of like an innings eater. Let's see. He's kind of an innings eater. How we get on John Lackey, I don't know, but.
He was on the Cubs when they, so that's how, why I wanted to.
Oh, he was on the Cubs World Series.
Yeah, that's
right. But he was also on the Red Sox World Series.
So he's got three then.
He's got a couple.
Well done.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, he did his best year was 19-9.
Which is good, but
which is okay.
But if you're not doing that,
apparently he actually led the league in ERA 3.01. But you know. So yeah, he was a rookie in 02, 9-4. But then 10-16, 14-13. He did go 14-5, 13-11, 9-9, 12-5, 11-8, 14-11, 12-12, missed 2012, 10-13, 14-10. Yeah, he's had a few World Series.
That average feels like it would come out very close to like 15-10.
Yeah.
No, right, it does feel right in that ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite Hall of Fame, I'd say, but very good.
No. A solid career, but not even perennial All-Star.
Right.
I mean, let's see what it – overall, 188 and 147 with a 3.92 ERA. Anything under four is good in this time.
That seems like a lot of losses for that
– American League.
Low-ish
right?
of an ERA.
Well, he always pitched a lot of innings, right? Always mostly 200 innings. couple times short, 163, 176, but a lot of over 200 innings, right around that. But
I love talking baseball. I'm glad baseball's back.
Yeah, yeah. I am too. You know, Andy, who's a big Phillies fan, and I'll get into baseball after the NBA and NHL. No, no, no. It's the end of March, baby. And it's very odd. This year is a very odd year. Usually, in past years, and baseball's moved them schedule up a little bit to give them more days off during the season, usually, it used to be, the national championship basketball game was on the same day as opening day. It was like the greatest day in sports. The greatest. One sport is ending, another sport is beginning. Now, it's like the last week in March. Opens up like March 28th, I think the season opens up, something like that. And baseball or basketball doesn't end until like the following weekend. It's like the Final Four is like the 6th through the 8th. You're really going to get like three straight weekends. You're going to get baseball, then the Final Four, and then the Masters. Usually that's all in like, you know, a 10-day time span or a week and a half. This is like 3 weeks. All right, he's on his way. Maybe we'll get him on the phone, and then he'll pop in. Vincent sure Hicks.
You got the right guy.
Yeah, we do have the right guy.
Well
all right.
Done.
All right. All right. You just never know.
That would have been funny,
that
though.
That would have been great. We could talk to him about Bryce Harper.
He comes in, and he works in the oil field. Let's just talk oil.
What happened to my gas prices? They just jacked up 50 cents. All right. Vincent Hicks, head coach of David Thibodeau, coming up next. They're taking on STM tonight. Second round of the playoffs, if you will. 103.7, the game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7, the game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we
are. And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Going day to day. I never knew the difference. I never cared either way. Looking for a reason. Searching for a sign. We're reaching out with both hands. Feel the kick inside.
All right, we're all fired up on a Friday morning sports chat. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, live in the 237 Roof Studios. We'll take your phone calls a little bit later, 706-0111, 706-0111, on the Arco equipment hotline. We got a big basketball game tonight. I guess technically it's the quarterfinals, although I guess David Thibodeau has already played twice. And again, make sure I get this right, Cody. It is Vincent Hicks, the head coach of David Thibodeau, not David Thibodeau, the head coach of Vincent Hicks High School, which you could easily make that mistake. All right, so let's talk some basketball. STM hosting David Thibodeau, Coach Hicks. Thanks very much for joining me on Sports Chat. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. Real blessed. Thanks for having me.
All right, give us some background on David Thibodeau. How old is the school? How old is the basketball program? How long have you been there?
The school is 8 years old.
Wow.
On the MP Moss campus.
Sure.
I've been there since pretty much day one and started the program from ground up when there was no balls, no uniforms available. So, you know, yeah, we from the ground up.
So what was it like year one?
Oh, year one was tough, man. Like I said, we didn't have a single uniform. We didn't have a basketball. It was all I had to create it from the ground
right
up. You know, of course, the district helped us to some funding. But yeah, it was tough that first year. Not to mention, we started off with just ninth grade that year. And so, you know, I wanted to play tougher competition to get my guys' talent level.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, the games were ugly.
And so how'd you keep their heads up when that was the case?
You know, I just told them, you know, especially teams that blew us out, I just told them, look, man, they just better get us now. They better beat us now. Because the next couple of years, you know, we really going to make some noise.
Yeah, but these guys aren't on 8-year contracts. They're gone, you know.
Yeah.
They took it on the chin.
Yeah, they did. They took it on the chin. But, you know, by the time their senior year, they
were okay.
Yeah, they were all ready.
Right. Is this as far as David Thibodeau's been in the playoffs? It is the quarterfinals.
Yes, sir. This is where we've lost the last 2 years. So hopefully we can change that this coming year.
All right. So then why, and Danny brought this up yesterday, why are you guys in Division II? How did that work out?
Well, we're a select school, so you know we have a school of choice with the district, and you know we're a STEM, science, technology, engineering, math school. So we have career pathways. So kids have to apply to come to our school. We don't have a zone, so that's the reason why we're in.
And so, what district do you play in?
We play.
Like who's in your you play regular season?
I want to say it was 8-3A. I may be wrong. Please don't kill me if I'm wrong.
All right. So what are the teams that you play?
Well, teams we have Patterson, we have Abbeville, really good Abbeville team. We have Erath, Berwick, and North Vermilion, I think.
Okay. Hopefully so that's a lot of, like, I can't, what is that? That's a basketball. That's a football school we cover.
Yeah,
it's
Kaplan.
Play Kaplan?
Yes, sir. Okay. Kaplan, too. All right. Yes, sir. Right. Kaplan, too. Sorry.
All right, so that's the football that we cover. All right, so tell us about your school, because we saw, I guess you were at the game the other night, right?
Yes.
He scouted you, and I noticed you were there after I saw your picture on Twitter. Like, oh, he was I must have the right guy, because he was at the ballgame. All right, so, you know, again, I'm, you know, just a sports guy who likes to, you know, blab, but I could easily see that St. Thomas More, and it's usually not the case, Danny's right, that, you know, his team was just bigger than Thomas Jefferson. I mean, it was blatantly obvious, right?
Yeah, and they had no talent as
That's
well.
Not – right. That's a different thing, right? Because a lot of times, you know, talent can take care of bigger teams, but it's tough to deal with that. But you could see that very early on. I guess they got off to a slow start in the first 2 minutes, but it was 21-12, and at the end of one, it never really changed. This is different. He says you guys have some size inside, and really for the first time in a handful of years, the STM does not. And you saw what they did with a half-court trap.
Yeah.
Who are the guys? Who is he talking about when he says you got some good kids inside?
I got a couple kids. I got a first-team all-district guy, Lamarck Amos, about 6'6".
No goodness.
Yeah, 6'6", long, just a sophomore.
Oh, boy.
Full of talent. Rebound, he averaged about 16 a game, 49 points. Another kid I have inside is Chukwukai Nwangi. He's about 6'4", 6'5".
Okay.
Yeah, an ox. Got two seniors, really two good seniors coming off the bench for me with DQ Griffin. Mm-hmm. He's also about 6'4", 6'3". And,
oh, goodness.
And he's a load. He's soft touch inside and great feet, great communicator, great leader. Then I have Taj Melanson, who's a big-time rebounder, you know, strong as an ox as well, you know, nice body, can create shots for itself, get to the goal. So I got four really talented guys in there.
All right, is anybody coming? Who was the first guy?
Lamarck Amos.
And sophomore, and you said 6'6"?
Yeah, it's about 6'6".
Being recruited yet?
Well, hopefully he gets some recruiting here pretty soon. You know, actually, be honest with you, we're kind of surprised about it. You know,
right.
For him
right.
not to get that any looks.
No, he'll start to get it. All right. All right, so then what's it like? You're going up against the defending champs.
Right. You know, of course, going against Coach Broussard, you know, you got to be ready because he's going to be ready. You know, he's an extremely talented coach, extremely good coach, and that's extremely successful coach.
Right.
As someone who I idolize and most definitely look up to, so... yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Most definitely going to be a challenge. But, you know, this whole season has been a challenge. So I don't, you know, we're not looking at this game as life or death.
Sure.
We're looking at this game as another game.
Right.
And I think that's been the, I guess that's been a problem for us the last 2 years. We put so much emphasis in this game, and we get to the point where we're playing tight. So hopefully we come out.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Right, like you said, fun, right? Yeah, and everyone, you know, unfortunately, everyone's going to have to get up and go back to school on Monday, win or lose.
right. Yeah. Well,
doesn't matter if you guys win or lose. You're going back to school Monday morning.
Well, maybe not. We got Mardi Gras break.
Not this Monday. It's Mardi Gras. Even better. Right? Even better. That's much better than school. All right, so they'll be back to school off all week.
Yes, sir.
All week. All right, so without getting into what the game plan is, how do you – first of all, like you said, you're going to take it as not a – and we're talking to Vincent Hicks, the head coach of David Thibodeau. They're playing at STM tonight, quarterfinals, Division II. It'll be on our sister station, 97.7 and 1330 AM, the Rewind, 5:45 pregame show, 6 o'clock tippish. or I should say 6 o'clock-ish tip ball. All right, so how do you get them not to get psyched out if all of a sudden, you know, that half-court trap is working and a couple of quick buckets against you?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you, this team's going to throw stuff at us that, you know, we've seen before.
Sure.
And, you know, so I think we're going to be able to hopefully handle it pretty well.
Right.
I mean, they do have some wins.
Well, that's a game plan. Certainly.
Yes,
right.
That's
and Coastal plan. Didn't think they were going to fall behind 14-0 last night either.
Right,
and
right,
they did.
Right. Right. Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. So, so we just plan to come out and play our game and, you know, just do our best as we can. You know, like I said, we're not trying to put too much emphasis on this one game. We're just trying to look at it as another game so we can play loose.
Now, you guys have some size, some athleticism. Do you guys press as well?
Yes, yes. We get after guys. Right. We do press, yes, sir.
And throw up those three-pointers?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got two really good shooters in Dontrell Dugas.
Right.
And
you can't tell these guys are from Lafayette. We got a Melanson and a Duga.
Keyshawn Harris is a senior for me.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Anyone being recruited yet? I mean, these guys, it's a good school, obviously.
Yeah, it's really good school. Right. I mean, Kobe Harris is my point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting some looks, a couple looks from Nichols and Northwestern.
Okay.
You know, 4.0 students. So
yeah.
Most definitely getting some looks.
Yes, no love from the Cajuns yet?
Not yet. Well, hopefully one day we'll get on their radar.
All right. All right, very good. How much fun is it to see from 8 years ago to where you guys are now?
I have to be honest with you, man. It's truly a blessing. You know,
right.
I have a real drive for coaching ball and, you know, and guiding young kids. And you know, for the most part, I feel like I've been pretty successful at it. Hopefully guys would think the same. But, yeah, you know, it's a blessing come through, man. I really am. I'm really happy to be where I'm at right now in life and also with my team and with the guys I got. I love my team, so – I think it's probably one of the best teams I've coached at David Thibodeau. So I'm really, really blessed.
Do you have an example of a kid where you saw the talent, worked hard, but for whatever reason didn't quite get it, and all of a sudden the light goes on?
I tell you, man, my program is like that. You know,
right.
I can really point out each thing with each of those kids.
Sure.
You know, because they start. I get them as almost babies, you know, because
we go
6th through 12th grade. Sometimes I get them in the 6th grade, and sometimes they come in the 9th grade year, but there's still always a maturation process
right.
that these kids have to go through. So, you know, it's that's also an extremely blessing, and also to see the work that these kids put in, and, you know, on their craft, and, you know, to see them improve like that is really fulfilling.
All right, then what's it like if you get them in 6th grade? They don't show up 6'6". When there's a position change, how does that work out?
Well, I mean, like I said, it's all about the development.
Right.
And, you know, I do look at my kids. And, you know, I do oversee the middle school basketball program at
right.
David Thibodeau. So it's a great feeder system for us. You know, and when I do get that talent like that, one of the things I do is I make sure that his grades are good, make
mm-hmm.
sure that, you know, he's okay, you know, at home, and, you know, make sure, you know, always have a relationship with the parents and
sure.
things like that. So, yeah.
All right. Vincent Hicks, head coach David Thibodeau, going to be at STM taking on the Cougars tonight, quarterfinals, Division II. Again, 5:45 pregame show, tip-off around 6 o'clock on our sister station, 97.7, 1330 a.m. Danny Jones and Coach Stroni with the call. Coach, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for
all right,
having me.
Appreciate it. We'll see you tonight at
Thank
the Cougar Dome. All right, Eitan Shander coming up 7:32. We'll talk Bryce Harper with him. Come back for more Sports Chat, 103.7. The Game. It's good. So rarely do we get somebody who actually appreciates coming on the show. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, thanks to Coach Hicks. We'll see him tonight. Boy, what a Friday night it's going to be here, Cody. We're going to Rufino's because we can't miss BLT at Rufino's, right? Bumper to Bumper Sports, a little BLT, the Ben Love Tour. Rufino's on the river. Ruffin Rodriguez will be there. Well, of course, it's his place. Trev Falk will be there. And the cat's out of the bag, Billy Napier, is going to be there. All right, head coach of the Raging Cajuns football team. All right, Eitan Shander coming up, 7:32. Brody Miller, 7:45. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the ARCO equipment hotline if you do want to get in to the conversation. We are live in the 237 Roof studio. So Jason Witten, going back to the Cowboys, okay? And again, we said this last year when he got in the booth, all right? And we've said this about, you know, other broadcasters, Ed Orgeron, right? We said this when he maybe was against Alabama and he just didn't look, you know, up to task, right? Ed Orgeron, the only reason Ed Orgeron's got the job is because of where he's from. right? If Ed Orgeron was from Ohio, he doesn't have the LSU football job. So Jason Witten got the job because he played for the Cowboys and he's boys with Tony Romo. Let's be honest. That was it. That's all. If Tony Romo can do that, why can't Jason Witten? All right. I'll be the first to tell you. Play-by-play ain't brain surgery, but it's not nearly as easy as it looks. Or in his case, the color analyst should be much easier, actually. And the guys who do it well and are entertaining with it, the John Maddens and the John Gruden, even if you think Dickie Vitale is too much, you know, if you get past all the PT peers and the diaper dandy stuff, he really knows what he's talking about. I mean, if you see Dick Vitale on a last-second play, he can tell you what's coming. Like Romo can tell you what's coming, you know, when the Patriots call this or when the Steelers call that or when the Cowboys call that play, they can see what's coming. Apparently a lot of people can do that, but, you know, Romo's the only one who does it on TV. Witten's just not very good. He's not. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? Why couldn't he work his way up? You know, Dan Dierdorf worked his way up. Small-time college football, big-time college football, and then got to the Monday Night Booth. After like 5 or 6 years. Terry Bradshaw worked his way up. Who would know more about football than Terry Bradshaw? Terry Bradshaw did, I believe, college football. And then he's on like this, you know, the teams, the broadcast teams are A, B, C, D, and E, whatever it is. You know, he's on like the C or D team. He's Terry frickin' Bradshaw. Who would know more about football than him? And he moved up. You get right onto the Monday Night Football thing. You better know what you're doing. All right, now there's times when you put Kornheiser in there and you're looking for something different. There's times, and I liked it, and I liked reading about it afterwards, and it was kind of the beginning of the internet deal when, you know, you'd have to, someone would have to interpret the quotes that Dennis Miller would come up with. I like that, all right? It's a little headier. You know, it's a little bit different than Madden. You know, all the... You know, weird references that Dennis Miller would give you. So that was something different. But here, you just have players. Joe Tessitore is play-by-play. I mean, Lisa Salter is almost a forgotten figure on the show. She's actually the sideline reporter. Although Burger McFarlane is also on the sidelines in his little contraption. Now, this is very easy how to take care of this. Just put Booger in the sideline upstairs and keep Lisa on the sidelines, and it's fixed. But no, you got to put somebody else in there. I don't know why. Peyton Manning. I bet you Peyton Manning doesn't want to do it. Right? Peyton Manning doesn't need to do this. A lot of these guys do this. You know, the Terry Bradshaws of the world. Romo doesn't need the money. But the Terry Bradshaws of the world probably needed the money. You know, these guys are not, you know. These guys did not make the kind of money in their playing days. I bet you Terry Bradshaw's made much more money as a broadcaster and commercial guy than he has when he played. Right? He played in the 70s and 80s. Did he even play 10 years, Cody? It would have been just a little bit more than 10 years. Right? Bradshaw stats. If I could spell Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw stats, Pro Football Hall of Fame. No, he did play. Played 1970. I'm surprised. All right. So 14 seasons. 70 through 83. What do you think he made, Cody? I don't know if it's... Do we think he made $5 million?
I mean, I guess that's an easy enough guess, but it would be just that, a guess.
How about this one? Pittsburgh Steelers, this is great. This is from January 1982, already on the downswing. Right. Pittsburgh Steelers, Terry Bradshaw was the second highest paid quarterback of all time with a $470,000 contract in 81.
Jeez.
Right? Bregman's making $599 this year, or $575 or something like that. The newspaper said that the New Orleans signal caller, Archie Manning, was the highest paid payer in the NFL last year, $600,000.
Times, they have changed.
Bradshaw, who received almost $140,000 raise after earning $329,000 in 1980, was one of three players on the Steelers' payroll earning $300,000, more than $300,000. All right, so he'd be lucky if he made $5 million in 14 years, right? Yeah. Lucky. I guarantee you he's probably making that annually now.
For how many months of work?
August through, right?
February, beginning of February.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure he's got endorsements and other things he does, but for the most part.
Pretty good deal.
Living that Gerald Gruning lifestyle.
That's right.
Most of the year, right?
A little bit more travel than that.
A little bit.
No, a little bit more travel than that. So, you know, the Jason Wittens of the world are not doing it for the money, right? The Jason Wittens of the world made the money. He's going back to football because he wants to do football. And maybe he went back and listened and was a little embarrassed on what he did on that, right? Because, again, I can tell you, if I started my baseball career, told this story before, 1994 when I was my first time doing, I was the announcer, and I had my whole pregame show planned out, and it worked perfectly. 15 minutes. Ball game is first pitch 7:05. I started at 6:50. Perfect, except the pregame ceremonies went 15 minutes late, and I didn't have anything to do. I'm bringing in the beat writer to talk. I'm lost. Can you imagine if that was on the major league level? It really took me 300 ball games to figure out what I was doing, maybe three or four seasons. And I'm somebody who listened a long time. I'm someone who had listened and paid attention a long time. It took me a long time to figure it out. I figured it out mid-96, 97. Got some help from Pat Hughes with the Cubs. Got some help from the guys in Peoria. Paid attention to the other announcers. And figured out how to put together a minor league broadcast. I did keep the same mantra, though I have now, Cody. Right? I don't let the ball game get in the way of my broadcast.
Right.
It is all about me, baby. There's, you know. you know, I am not going to let the ball game get in the way of me. And especially in the minor leagues, right, when maybe you have two or three good games a week. Yeah. Jason Witten did it in the Monday Night Football level. He wasn't ready for it. They thought he was friends with Tony, so it's the same thing. He made a mistake. They made a mistake.
That's like me saying, like, yeah, I know Bill Gates. Like, we've hung out a few times.
Right.
Would you give me like $6 billion to build a computer?
Right, you make the computer.
Come on.
That's right. You make the Y phone.
Right, the Y. That's funny, yeah. The Y. How has that not been a thing yet? How has no one come out with, like, not just even the Y, just any kind of other to...
Well, did you see this? And I know we got to go to break, and Eitan Shander coming up next. Samsung making a phone that can fold for like $1,700. Who's going to pay $1,700 for a phone that folds?
The Motorola Razr folded. And then are we going back to flip
that
phones?
Flipped, right?
I mean, yeah, it closed. It just like a book.
It was a flip phone, right? But right.
This kind of folds like a brochure,
something like that.
Yes. Yeah, the Windows phones, though, for Microsoft specifically, those bombed.
Yeah.
The Windows phones, no. Yeah. No bueno.
Yeah. Let's make phones more expensive.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah. I got a line. I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to let it slide. All right. Going to let it slide. All right. Let's talk a little baseball. Bryce Harper, Eitan Shander coming in from 97.3 in Atlantic City. He also does a podcast for the record with former Eagles Brian Westbrook. And our buddy Jeff Mosher. That's how we got him. All right. We'll be back. We'll talk some Bryce Harper with Eitan Shander right after this on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game.
Put your makeup on, fix your hair pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic.
All right. Dave Schultz, Tony Schutz on a Fired Up Friday Morning Sports Chat live from the 237 Roof Studios. We'll talk a little LSU with our buddy Brody Miller in about 15 minutes. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Let's talk a little Bryce Harper with Eitan Shander from 97.3 in Atlantic City and the podcast For the Record with Brian Westbrook and our buddy Jeff Mosher. Good morning, Eitan. Thanks for getting up and joining me. You guys get any sleep last night up there in Philadelphia?
Yeah, man. I've been on TV for the last 2 hours. So last night it was just nonstop. It was almost like a party. And then you don't have any time to celebrate, man. You know this thing is. You just get right back up, and it's snowing here as well.
Right.
So we had Christmas in March.
There you
man.
Go.
It's crazy.
Nice. All right. So, again, it's not my money, so I don't care how much.
Not my money either.
Right. but we've seen this play out before. I mean, you don't think this has A-Rod written all over it?
Listen, they got a World Series, didn't they, out of A-Rod?
One.
I mean,
they got one. They got one.
I know, and I think that a lot of it has to do with where the team is right now and where the next 4 to 5 years of young players that you're surrounding Bryce Harper with, the fact that without the opt-outs, this is key, Bryce Harper has just solidified himself as the number one recruiter in Philadelphia outside of Carson Wentz and maybe Joel Embiid. But I don't think the NBA is going to work like that. So baseball, as you mentioned, hey, not your money, not my money. It's a capless league. So
right.
I think Bryce Harper, it's not just going to be sitting back. And the personalities are part of it, too, where it's not just going to be sitting back, collecting a check, and putting up numbers. I think Bryce Harper is going to be actively involved in trying to bring in big names and down the road. I can tell you the first big name that should be falling in the next year or two would be Mike Trout.
Sure. Right, a local.
I'm get ahead of myself.
Right. You know, yeah. Harper wasn't good enough, Shander. You got to go all in for Trout.
You know how it is. I'm greedy. All right.
All right. I mean, there's someone still out there. Do they need another arm? Dallas Keuchel is still available.
I would be shocked if Keuchel's not a Philly at this point. I think this was part of the plan. They were going to go after both he and Kimbrel. I think if they could not get Bryce Harper, not that they needed Kimbrel so much, it's just it would help bolster up the back end of the bullpen as well as just kind of compensating for not getting that power. But yeah, they need the arm.
I mean,
and I'm sorry?
No, just go ahead, finish.
Yeah, they need the arm, and I think that completes this offseason in which you've brought in a legit arm, you brought in the top 5-7 player, you've brought in one if not the best catchers in baseball. You brought in a great locker room presence in Andrew McCutchen, who could also help and maybe hit 18 to 20 home runs in this ballpark. This was a hell of an offseason for the Phillies.
Yeah, it really was. And they got one of the better deals going. I mean, what kind of discount did Aaron Nola give the Phillies? I mean, they were talking about this morning what kind of contract Bregman's going to get. 4 years, $45 million for Aaron Nola is quite the deal.
We thought Howie Roseman might have been working out that contract.
Right,
because he's
right.
So great with the Eagles at maneuvering a cap. And next thing you know, here comes, he just found $20 million under some book. And yes, it was amazing because in an offseason of spending and an offseason of, hey, bring in what you can and going after both Machado and Harper, with the understanding that they could probably, if they really wanted to put aside anything with Trout, probably just go after both of them. But in an offseason that was really filled with a lot of excitement and spending, that really is going under the radar. And you're right. You talk about something that's going to look even better a year from now, 2 years from now, just because of how they got him.
Yeah.
It's a steal. Nola is dominant. And I know that you had a couple of guys last year that were in that level, if not better. I'm not saying that he should have won something or not. But Nola had a significant season last year as far as getting to that next level, and I don't think he drops off at all.
Well, he's top three. Didn't he finish third in the Cy Young? Yeah.
I didn't want to take away anything from the two guys ahead of him because they were dominant last year, and they had really special seasons.
Sure.
I think this is just what you're going to see year in and year out with Nola.
Nola did take the next step last year. We're talking to Eitan Shander from 97.3 in Atlantic City, also a little SB Nation for the record. How do you like doing that show with Mosh?
Jeff, man, I go back with Jeff forever. It's funny, the first time I ever met Jeff was worked with Jeff, was on the air. We did a radio show, and we just started talking off the air and realized that we're from the same area up in, like, North Jersey, Southern Connecticut, New York City, both have family in the same spot, same age, and it's just we happened to come together in Philadelphia. So I know him, and listen, he's one of the few people that returns my texts and calls, so
sure.
I can't say
anything bad about them.
Well, here's the odd thing. So we have a little high school basketball matchup, and I just saw because I took a picture of it, but the high school basketball coach, Danny Broussard, probably is one of the few people who uses more hair gel than Sean McVay, the L.A. Rams coach. I would ask Mosh, where did you get that cool gel? And he's like, I don't use hair gel.
He doesn't.
It looks like it, though.
Jeff, yeah, you know, the thing about it, he's got his hair cut short now. So sometimes he has, like, this almost crew cut thing, and I don't think he has enough hair to gel.
Okay.
But I think I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
His hair was a little longer. It had that, like, fresh gel look.
It did.
And, you know, like, I don't know, maybe he was sneaking some in. He just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah, I would just say because it doesn't flake. It just looks good. And not that I was touching his hair, but I was always complimentary about the Schultz. I'm not using hair gel. All right, anyway. All right.
I don't have any hair. So
right,
I can't
right.
Talk.
Well, there you go. All right. How many World Series titles do you think is going to justify this contract?
If I can paraphrase, one of the better athletes we've seen in the last 25 years. Not one. Not two.
Right.
Here's the thing. It's Philadelphia, so I need to qualify that.
Sure, that's what I said. That's right.
There will be people. There will be the vocalists. You do this. I do this. We deal with callers. We deal with tweeters. We deal with the vocal minority. And some of it is smoke and mirrors. Hey, you know, there are people out there because you got a couple of people on the lines and you try. There will be legit disappointment if Bryce Harper does not put up big numbers. I think that's first and foremost. The team coming around, it will be looked at, and Bryce Harper will be part of the blame, but I think it will still be looked at as far as the front office. What's going wrong with a guy like JT Realmuto, you know, Mikel Franco, is he inconsistent again? So there'll be Reese Hoskins. You know, we haven't talked about him. He
right.
should benefit exponentially from
sure.
that 3-4-5 in the lineup. So I think there are two things, two answers to your question, Dave. First and foremost, if Bryce Harper himself is not performing, he's going to get crushed. And it's not just the Philadelphia crush. I'm talking about people.
Well,
it
sure.
doesn't matter where he played, Kansas City, Boston, wherever. He would get lit up for underperforming. Now, if the team itself does, it depends. If they're hamstrung and you know they're not spending any more money in the next 2 or 3 years, which I doubt, then maybe they'll look back and say, oh, you spent all this money on Bryce Harper, and now you can't get anything else. You got to trade with the catcher, but you can't move on. So I think that there will still be frustration with Klentak, and there'll still be frustration with the front office, not all on Bryce Harper. And that's, you know, assuming that Bryce plays well and the team stinks. But that could happen. I mean, Mike Trout has missed the playoffs, so
right,
this is
right.
something that's not outside the norm in baseball. But I don't think that... I mean, you know, if they get 2 World Series in 5 years, I don't think that people will be complaining.
Right, and they're in the playoffs the other years, yeah. Eitan Shander from 97.3 Atlantic City, let's wrap it up. It did not start out well last year. All right, getting booed at home is not that big of a deal because it happens all the time in Philadelphia. But
No. Don't listen, I crushed people here, okay? I was still on the Fanatic at that time.
Right.
In 97. I was on that day. In fact, I was in for Mike Missanelli. He does the afternoon show.
Sure.
And I was on that day, and I reacted live to that. And I ripped people to shreds for months because that should not represent our city. A bunch of clowns going down there and booing a guy in his home debut.
Right, right. Well, that, I go way back almost 20 years now with Gabe Kapler. Saw him play in Double A Jacksonville,
awesome.
And it did not start out well with him taking out Aaron Nola. It certainly ended well, you know, throughout the season, and maybe
right.
they faded a little bit because they're inexperienced and a little bit young.
Right.
There's nobody more into analytics than Gabe Kapler. How's that going over in Philadelphia?
It's going over better than not. And that doesn't mean that it's going over smooth, but I think that people are warming up to it and understanding Gabe's idea and mentality and approach to the game, and also knowing that he's not alone. He's not the only guy out there that's doing crazy or wacky to some people, analytical shifts or pulls or things with the lineup. I mean, he's not at the point starting a reliever to open a game, but he has been doing some things a lot with the shifts and on defense. I think people are warming up because they recognize that a lot of last year was just simply lack of talent. They outplayed and they won some close games. But there is a really good sign, and I'll leave you with this because I don't want to be too long-winded with you, Dave, but there's a really good sign, okay? Doug Peterson, his first year, when he first got here, got a rental car from the Philadelphia airport. He didn't know how to work the headlights. He didn't. I mean, who goes to Avis or Hertz and doesn't know how to work the headlights?
Right.
So
great
we
story.
Ripped this guy up and down Broad Street. Oh, this is the new football coach. He doesn't know how to work the headlight. And then he had a problem with the headset, the channels. He didn't. Gabe Kapler didn't know how to use the bullpen phone. It's going to be okay.
Right.
He's going
to
be fine. Gabe, I think, connects with these kids and now has veterans like Harper and McCutcheon in there as well. This is going to be a great season because I think the players really connect with Gabe Kapler. And if they win, you're going to see that go even higher.
Plus, he's a member of the tribe, my brother. Plus, he's a member
of
the tribe.
Hey, you know, you can't knock that, right?
Right. Well, you can't. Eitan Shander.
Not too many Jews in baseball.
No, especially not leading baseball teams. Eitan Shander from 97.3 Atlantic City. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Give my best to Mosh.
I will, brother. Anytime. I'm here. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, I knew he was a member of the tribe, too. All right, let's take a time out. Brody Miller coming up next. Good show. Yesterday, at 5 p.m., I had like one guest. We got three this hour. Back after this, talking LSU and Texas on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, a fired up Friday morning sports chat. Quick note. I got this in my head and I can't get out. The game tonight, STM, is at 7 o'clock. The pregame show is at 6:45. That may change my plans, but the game is at 7 o'clock, 6:45 pregame show on 97.7 and 1330 The Rewind. All right, quick correction there by the head coach, Danny Broussard. We appreciate that. All right, let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Let's bring in our buddy from NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. It is Brody Miller. Good morning, Brody. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Have you already passed Lafayette? Are you on your way to Austin?
I am getting close.
All right. Well, if you got up a little bit earlier, it could have been live in studio. I would have bought you coffee.
Oh, missed opportunity. I blame you for not reminding me.
You should. Yeah, that's the way to go. All right. We already got pitching issues in the LSU rotation. What's going on?
Yeah, so, it's always been kind of a tricky thing. I've always wondered, they put Jaden Hill in that Sunday spot and said, the plan is for Eric Walker to get back there in a couple weeks and once he's fully ready to go. And I was always curious how that transition would go if Jaden Hill's pitching really well, which for the most part he has been. And it kind of weirdly fleshed itself out. Now Jaden Hill is, out for a little bit with some soreness. So Eric Walker will have the Sunday start. Pulmonary said that every day with Jaden Hill it's gotten better. So it was, usually if it's something that's going to be an issue, it's something that the pain doesn't really alleviate. So it's a good sign that, it's gotten better each day and the pain is completely gone now. He just hasn't started throwing yet, but he is making the trip. So he will probably start throwing, maybe today or tomorrow, or he might have even yesterday. I have to check in. But so Jaden Hill out for the weekend, but we'll see if it's anything problematic, but the bigger news, obviously, is that Eric Walker is going to be making the Sunday start against Texas.
Right. Also, hashtag, there's always a bright side. Mikhail Hilliard got an inning in.
Absolutely, yeah. Mikhail Hilliard, who, hadn't pitched in a game since, mid-May 2018. Basically dealing with this just constant off and on, hard to really define soreness. So he comes back. And, it was one inning, so it's hard to ever make too much of that. But his breaking ball looked back to what it is. His signature breaking ball, so that's a good sign for him. And, I think you take that with some optimism. And, if you have a guy like Mikhail Hilliard, the bullpen looked pretty iffy that first 2 weeks. And if you had a guy like that who was your best starter last season, now all of a sudden he's, one of your middle relief guys, that's definitely a nice little weapon to have.
Brody Miller from the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com almost pulling an Andrew Lopez covering the LSU-Tennessee basketball game, and all of a sudden Trey Waters isn't playing, and Naz Reid only gets 1 point, but you got off the hook as they won the basketball game.
That was a genuinely impressive effort, I guess, to win it that way, of course. I think, because it's been one of those things where this team all season has kind of been – it's been wait and see, because, hey, they haven't played anyone yet, and, their schedule is not as tough as some of the UKs or the Tennessees. So, you win at UK, and then you win a game like this, like you said, with basically your two best players, in one form or another, basically out. You know, I mean, that's as big of a statement as you can make. And I'm one of those people who believes that the teams that go far in March are the ones that play really good defense, are big, and then have a dynamic point guard who can take over games in crunch time. Well, Javonte Smart proved that, in theory, LSU has two of them. So that's definitely a luxury to have.
We're talking to Brody Miller from the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. I don't know what his updated stats are. Has Antoine Duplantis struck out yet?
I don't believe he's struck out, but, I mean, he's hitting, you know, in the 450s, I think 457. He's got 23 RBIs in 8 games, which is just, you know, just absurd.
He is not.
And
that's crazy. So he has not struck out. So in 8 games, Antoine Duplantis has not struck out, and he has 23 RBIs, which is the most impressive statistic.
Yeah, I think that's 23 RBIs is probably the most impressive,
right?
just considering it's him of all people. You know, he's a guy. He's a singles hitter and one of the best in the country. But he is a guy who's all about consistency and hitting for average and getting on base. And all of a sudden, you know, he's this power hitter. And it kind of made Paul Maneri look smart because, you know, I mean, he wasn't like the obvious three hitter this season. I mean, you could have put him a lot of places. He would make sense in the two spot. And Paul Maneri basically said, hey, we're going to put him at three because we know he's our most clutch hitter. And, you know, he's not going to waste opportunities running in scoring position. And that has worked out in, you know, tenfold. So, and the crazy, another thing that kind of gets forgotten, it's like Josh Smith is the one that's making all of this work so well. I mean,
because he's
hitting well over 500. Right. His on-base percentage, I think, is in the 600s.
Almost.
I mean, he has scored in the leadoff spot in from the first inning of 7 of 8 games. I mean, so every single first inning, he's on base. Then Watson or whoever the two hitter is going to move him over, and all of a sudden you got that Duplantis Cabrera combination with a runner in scoring position almost every time, like clockwork. So I think Smith's I would make a weird case that he might even be the MVP so far this season because you combine that with his defense. But yeah, a lot of good options for that spot, I would argue.
Yeah, you know you're off to a good start when you go 1-for-2 and your average goes down. Yeah, you know you're in a good spot when that's the case. Brody Miller, he's on his way to Austin to cover LSU and Texas. All right, so one of the things that's sticking out are these stolen bases. What if it's just because it's such a – it was Hill and Marceau and Zach Hess was starting to work things out. What if it was just, you know, Alan Dunn saying, guys, just let's concentrate on the hitters. We'll worry about the batters. We'll worry about any runners later. But just we're breaking in a new catcher in Brock Mathis. You know, what about – they're just concentrating on the hitters and sort of not focusing on holding the runners on. Anything to that?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think one, I think there's definitely truth to that. I think Alan Dunn kind of historically, especially with, like you said, those young pitchers, he's going to worry way more about, especially against the competition they're playing, going to worry much more about just getting batters out and the rest will come. Two, I think, yeah, like they're not holding ground runners well. They're not, you know, they're not exactly getting the ball to the plate quickly. And the other thing is I just don't have a great answer for, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? Because when Mathis has had, you know, he hasn't had many opportunities to genuinely throw somebody out, but when he has had chances, it's not like his throws were exactly great either. So I think it's a combination of a lot of factors where it's hard to tell where the blame truly lies there. So I think that's one where I kind of want more of a greater sample size. But Paul Maneri is adamant that the problem is pitchers are not holding guys on more enough. They're not getting the ball to the plate quick enough.
All right, how long is this ride to Austin?
Well, it's, you know, it had told me it was going to be 6.5 hours. Now it's looking like it might be 7. So I'm hoping I can make it less than 7.
All right. Well, good luck. Be safe. All right. I appreciate it, my friend. Brody Miller, NOLA.com, and the Times-Picayune. Still there? All the best. All right. Usually says thank you. That's all right. We won't say it, but the music went right past his head. He didn't get the music. And we're just going to let that sit there. Others may have understood the music, but that's okay. All right, 2 hours down, 1 to go on a Fired Up for Autumn Orange Sports Chat. We reset after this. 103.7, the game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 103.7 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 103.7 The Game mobile app or online at 103.7thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Reaching out with both hands, but gotta feel the kick inside.
All right, we're all fired up. Less than an hour until the weekend. I'll still go to the SDM game. We'll be a little bit late to the baseball game. If I can get to the baseball game. I got a feeling I'm not going to be able to get to the baseball game, Cody. And you know I'm going to try for about 2 or 3 minutes and just bail with all the parking and Mardi Gras activities going on. Oh, well. We'll be at Rufino's on the River at 4 and then a little STM after that. And then we'll see if we get to the baseball game after that. It'll be a little bit later on. All right. Thanks to Vincent Hicks for coming on, from David Thibodeau, Eitan Shander from 97.3 in Atlantic City, and Brody Miller talking LSU. You're welcome to give us a call, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We're live in the 237 Roof Studios. All right, so the other day, and again, tonight's basketball game, STM and David Thibodeau, 7 p.m. tip-off, 6:45 pregame show. Again, I was confused. It was changed, and then it wasn't, and then whatever the case was. All right, and so this happened the other day on Tuesday. I'm taking my daily nap. A little beauty sleep in the middle of the day. Going to get up and go to the basketball game. All right. Get an email that says, who is board hopping the basketball game? And I go, what are you talking about? Because I don't know what you're talking about. Well, we're doing the SDM game. First I heard of it. Before I answered, though, I went through my emails. Right? I was out of town. Maybe I missed something. Sometimes it's on the notes from the weekly meeting that we have that I don't read but should. So I want to make sure I didn't miss it. I didn't. All right. It doesn't matter why this was the case. I'm just pointing out that maybe I missed it somewhere along the way. All right. It was all saved. Joey Donuts came in, saved the day. He's doing the game again tonight, right? Danny Jones and Coach Stroning on the call. STM and David Thibodeau, 7 p.m., 6:45, pregame show over on 97.7 The Rewind and 1330 a.m. You got LeBron James here, Cody? Did you find LeBron James?
It's from Uninterrupted?
Yes.
I believe. I'm just hoping there's no cursing.
No, there's no cursing. Okay. I don't think so. All
okay,
right.
Good.
Well,
pretty sure
just
I got
pay attention.
Drop.
Just yeah. pay attention. You got a drop button.
We do.
I heard it, and I didn't hear any cursing. All right. So it's Antonio Brown. You skipped Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I'm like 16 seconds in where it's just LeBron.
Okay, so
now.
It's just LeBron James. All right. And so Antonio Brown started talking about, you know, he's a six-round pick. He's trying to get paid. He got paid. But here's LeBron James talking. All right. Go ahead.
All of a sudden, I mean, it's the same that's going with AD right now. I mean, AD's been in the league. This show was your seventh
yeah.
year? 7 years in the league. Nobody's ever said anything. No media, not a fan, not a friend. Nobody has ever said anything negative about AD. But you can tell when the narrative changed,
yep.
when you don't do what they want you to do.
Yep.
So now TMZ says the Pelicans, if I get this correctly, have put out a smear campaign on Anthony Davis. What smear campaign? What have I missed? What has come out that, you know, sounds bad from Anthony Davis? No, a little selfish, but because he wants to move. But Anthony Davis is the one who demanded the trade, right? Anthony Davis is the one who gave the list, then said he did give the list, then said there was no list, then says there's 29 other teams he wants to be with. That's all Anthony Davis. He did it on TV at the NBA All-Star Game. What smear campaign is going on with the Pelicans, right? They're the ones who don't want him to play and are playing him. Did I miss something? Have I missed the story?
Now, I swear I have a valid point here. You do say...
You usually don't have a valid point?
Well, no, but I'm going to bring up wrestling here,
okay.
I wanted to like preface that with there is, I have
right.
a point.
Because right. right. you're right, I would tune that out. As
exactly.
You. Go ahead. All right.
But you've said before that the NBA is like the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
How in just the storylines and the
great
things.
Great soap opera.
And this, I mean, again, is straight out of WWE. There's a guy, doesn't matter who, but has kind of publicly announced is going to leave WWE after his contract is up. And so all of a sudden social media takes to Twitter and all that and says
right.
like, oh, WWE is going to bury this guy and he's going to lose every match and they're going to make him look stupid because he publicly announced a couple months before that he's going to leave when his contract's up. So they're going to try to devalue him as much as they can before he tries to sign with another promotion, this and that. But since his announcement, this wrestler, nothing, he's just been doing, you know, shows like normal. He's been winning a match here, lose a match there type of thing. But there's still this outrage as if the WWE is trying to bury and, as you said, smear this guy before he moves on to a different promotion. So it's similar to Anthony Davis. It's like people, maybe they expect that from these big organizations, whether it's the Pelicans or WWE, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, but no, but that no, this is a smear campaign comes with free agency. There's no way that they want to smear Anthony Davis. They want to put Anthony Davis in, you know, a armored suit.
Right. If they could get people to believe AD was better than LeBron, that's what they would do.
They will set up Anthony Davis. You know, Anthony, we don't want you to play. We don't want you to play so much. Why don't you go stay at the Hyatt Regency, right, in downtown, and we'll take care of room service. We'll still pay you, right? There was never this, you know, we're going to put you on the suspended list and we're not going to pay you or anything like that. We just want you to go away because you're a distraction to the team, which is obviously the case. There's no smear campaign when you see, and he's actually been very effective the last couple of games, but you can see when he's not on the court, they play better. I don't know why that is. That seems a little bit odd, but there's more of an effort defensively, and the guys generally seem to be playing better, and some of these guys, I mean, Cheick Tiello has, like, the best game of all time or something like that. You know, 18 points and, what,
perfect,
10 rebounds.
Perfect
like,
from the floor.
In 19 minutes. It was unbelievable. Frankie Jackson's playing well. Ian Clark was playing well, all right? Outside of the, you know, we're letting Tim Frazier off at the LAX. We're pulling a Kiffin. I'm trying to figure out where the smear campaign is coming from. What stories is he talking about? Have we had any stories on Anthony Davis? No one said anything bad about Anthony Davis. I haven't heard anything bad outside of the timing of this. That's it. That's all. Randy could have kept his mouth shut, played through the season, see where it goes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out and said, look, I wanted to leave Milwaukee. I told them I'm going to not say anything about it. You get the best deal that you can. And they did, and they moved on. When Anthony Davis comes out and says something publicly and it gets leaked, by the Lakers, by the way. Count on that. And I think that Anthony Davis did it himself. You know, A, let's be honest. There is a little bit of him doing the Pelicans a favor. All right, the Pelicans were not making the playoffs when he did this. It didn't matter if they won the couple of games before he did it or lost like he did after he did it. He hurt his finger and blah, 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 blah. You know, none of that mattered. They were not making the playoffs this year, right? And so he did the Pelicans a favor. Don't try and go and make the playoffs this year with a couple of trades where you're trading away the first-round pick again. Don't do that. I'm going to save you the trouble from doing that because I'm not going to sign and do the best that you can and get what you can for me in return. But it came public. You don't think the Pelicans did that? The Pelicans didn't do that. That ruins their leverage. The smear campaign would ruin their leverage. If you smear Anthony Davis, lazy, always injured, out for himself, that doesn't help your trade situation. I haven't heard one bad thing, honestly, about Anthony Davis. It's all about professional. You know, we can go back to my vacation a couple years ago, Cody, when someone took what I said personally. Well, of course he took it personally because I was talking about him. But I didn't say he should be fired. All I said, he wasn't saying anything. Just speak up. I didn't make it personal. I didn't say he was doing a bad job. I just said he was nowhere to be found. Of course he took it personally because, well, I'm commenting on him. What's he doing now? Like an AD somewhere in Midland, Texas. By the way, didn't make it through the year. I went on vacation for a week. Someone else didn't make it through that year. Go figure. Of course, he took it personally. And, of course, the Pelicans take it personally. You tell him you want to be here. Again, he's, you know, Freddie Mercury. I love you, but I'm gay, so we're breaking up. But I need you in my life. Anthony Davis, thanks for everything, Pelicans, but I'm not re-signing. Take care, but I'm not moving out yet. Well, you know, what can the Pelicans do? So I don't understand the whole, you know, and believe you me, LeBron James is a lot smarter than I am. You know, maybe Cody's right. Maybe it is all about the soap opera. But I don't understand that the smear campaign. What smear campaign? Did I miss it? Was it in my email? I thought maybe I missed the whole. I'd be the first to tell you. You know, when I make a mistake, I own up to it. Usually. Plus, when you make a mistake and admit it, when it's not your mistake, then people tend to believe you more often. So when I don't know what we're doing, a game, I want to check if I missed it. If I missed it, then I'll take it. And I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I'm just saying the point is that I'm wondering if, you know, I missed the email about the ball game or it was in notes that I tend not to read. Just like this smear campaign. Where is the smear campaign? Am I missing some, Cody? Did I miss the smear campaign? I don't remember the smear campaign.
I mean, the fans maybe got angry, but if AD is going to hold that against the Pelicans, then...
But it's not AD, it's LeBron.
I mean, then even worse, though, if LeBron, who's not even on the team, is going to hold that against the Pelicans fans,
yeah,
then
but,
that's,
yeah.
that's very
I,
shallow.
I don't know anybody who said anything bad about AD. Other than, why'd he do it about the timing? And again, the timing was more important for the business interests of the Pelicans. He's actually doing New Orleans a favor.
Is LeBron just lashing out or reacting to the stories that the Pels kind of fleeced the Lakers, so to speak, kind of just gave him the runaround with no intention of ever really doing anything?
You know, I think he's still going to end up with the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, but I just mean in that initial conversation.
I don't know if he's going to, maybe, I don't know. Maybe, you know, LeBron James is maybe mad he's not going to make the playoffs, right? I mean, and then if he does make the playoffs, they're not going to beat Golden State. Maybe that's it. You know, if you had Anthony Davis, maybe, you know, they'd get into the seventh spot and they could get to the semifinals of the conference.
I mean, AD and LeBron on the court together, that's at least going to give Golden State a run for their money. It's competition. I'm not saying they're going to win.
I don't know about that, only because the whole team, the rest of the team would be gone.
It would be, it'd be 5-on-2.
It kind of would be. Right? So
AD just stay under the goal with his arms up and LeBron right. run offense gonna, by himself.
You know, all of a sudden the guys who aren't playing right now would be playing. Right? Because Kuzma wouldn't be playing. He'd be part of the deal. Right? Zubic would have been part
Lonzo,
of the deal.
Lonzo.
Right? Lonzo would have been part of it. But he's not playing. He's out.
He's hurt. Yeah.
Ingram would have been part of the deal. I don't know who's left.
Luke Walton, time to suit up, buddy.
Tim Frazier's available. You go get Timmy Frazier. So I don't understand where the quote smear campaign is coming from. There isn't one. I don't get it. All right. Just making sure I did not miss it. All right, let's reset. Cajuns basketball with a relatively easy win. A little coaching malpractice, I would tell you. Cliff Ellis, ton of experience. Let that game get away from him in the first 4 minutes of the game. Back after this, 103.7, The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, fired up Friday Morning Sports Check. Give us a call if you guys know what the smear campaign that LeBron James is talking about on Anthony Davis. Fill me in. Again, I only got so much RAM. Right, had STM earlier, got STM today. We got Cajuns basketball. I'm coming back from L.A. We got LSU basketball and baseball, Cajuns baseball, Mardi Gras. I only got so much RAM. So if I missed the LeBron smear campaign that he's talking about against Anthony Davis from the Pelicans, let me know. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. I don't get it. Again, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. I see the next thing I'm going to binge watch, Cody. I've always had a thing for Kate Beckinsale. All right. And mine is from Serendipity. What was a crazy Matrix-esque movies she was in. And there are like four or five of them, I think. She's in a new one, The Widow. And it's on a Prime. It's on Amazon Prime, which I got.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what you're talking about. You're talking about Underworld.
Underworld.
Yeah, yeah. There's Underworld. And there's Rise of the Lycans, and right. It's werewolves, like
three,
and
yeah, it's three or four things.
Right. Right. My favorite movie, and I didn't realize this was the same lady till it just popped up. But I love the Van Helsing movie.
Okay.
That she's in where it's her, and I believe it's Hugh Jackman plays Van Helsing, and they run around killing vampires and werewolves and things. It's
yeah, she kind of went away from rom coms to. Action hero. Ran into her on Miami Beach. Out of the blue. Dunkin' Donuts, I know this is shocking, Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks are right across the street from each other. The line at Dunkin' Donuts was too long. Went into Starbucks. Open up the door, a couple of kids come running out. Older lady gives me a dirty look, comes running out. Right behind him, Kate Beckinsale. Whoa! Hold it! And she gave me the look of just like, thanks for opening up the door. Aren't you? Yeah, you are. We'll just let you walk. The nanny sort of gave me the older look. They gave me the mean look, but Kate Beckinsale gave me the nice look. Do you know who she's hanging around with now?
Pete Davidson?
Yes.
Just on my Google.
You think she feels sorry for him? Trying to help him out?
See, I know
Boy Toy or what?
About what happened with Pete Davidson and all that, but I never really read any details about it. I know he had somewhat of like a breakdown or something like that at SNL.
It had a breakdown. It was like suicidal.
Right.
After the whirlwind.
Ariana Grande and all that.
I mean, everybody saw that one coming.
I mean, that's past first world problems. I don't even know what to call that.
Right.
According to Twitter.
Well, he's depressed. He's had drug problems. Right? I get it. I'm not making light of that. But we could all see what was going to happen with Ariana Grande. We knew that was not going to last. Right. Well, but, good for him. Good for him. 706-0111, 706-0111. Cajuns, that's the Arco Equipment Hotline, by the way. LSU baseball, LSU basketball. They got Alabama tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning, by the way. So a short producers. I think I saw Brian Holland said, has LSU lost 11 out of 12 at Alabama? 11 out of 12. So that is a win and move on.
We're not talking football, right?
No. So hopefully they get that win. When they're not rated where they should be, it's losses like that. All right. Not going to be an easy win. But if you're a Final Four team, you should take care of business. Again, they've had a lot of win and move on, so they can do it. 10:30 tomorrow. It'll be the producers at 10. LSU basketball tomorrow, 10:30, pregame show, tip-off 11, and then baseball is right after that, 2:30 pregame show. So there may be a little network break, but maybe not. If LSU is smart, they'll run it right into, they'll extend the postgame show, but we'll see how that works out. excuse me. Meanwhile, Cajuns with a nice basketball win last night. Not really in jeopardy. And again, coaching malpractice. How long before you call a timeout, Cody? And knowing that it's called every 4 minutes, 16, 12, 8, and 4, and you got four timeouts, and you got to call one in the first half or you lose it. Those are usually called at the end to set up a play. So they fell behind, I think it was 2-0. 4-0. An and one with Marcus Stroman, 7-0. And then Gant made a couple of free throws, 9-0. 17:49 to go. So less than 2.5 minutes in, I'm calling a timeout.
Right, after that second made free throw.
I'm calling a timeout.
Right.
Settling down. Nope. Cedric Russell, 3-pointer, 3 minutes in. Chiquini Gant, dunk.
Well, wait, so you don't take the timeout again after the 3-pointer?
Not after the 3-pointer. Then a Chiquini Gant, dunk. 14-0. Now it's 16-23 to go. So now basically the next dead ball is a timeout. Now it's too late to call the timeout. And you're lucky you scored. Tommy Burton made a layup. Here it says 16-01. I thought it went through right at the 16-minute mark. It fell behind 16-2. 14-0 and 16-2. The closest you got was 20-9. Then all of a sudden you look up and it's 30-11. You're down 19. 8:01 to go. You did gut it. I think, did they get it to 13 here? They got it to 13, 37-24, but it was a 15-point lead at half, 39-24. Then the Cajuns got it up to 23, or got it up to 21. They did get it up to 23, and Bob Marlin in there, after a Cedric Russell three, calls the Bob Marlin special with your biggest lead of the game, and he calls timeout. Now, they did get it up to 23, and it was about 4 minutes later when it started to go downhill. And it got to a 7-point game. 23-point game, got to a 7-point game. And your point guard fouls out with 3:58 left to go. But all of a sudden, they started hitting free throws. Justin Miller, Cedric Russell, Gant. You know what? I don't think Gant had. Oh, Trajan Wesley. I made one. All right, made a couple. They made like 8 out of 9 free throws. That's the ballgame. They missed a bunch, too. What did they miss? They missed at least 10. They missed 11. 25 out of 36. All right, back after this. Almost 30 minutes left to go for the weekend.
Woohoo.
We at Ruffino's on the river. I'm looking forward to that already. Kind of go home and take a nap. 20 minutes. Walmart's open for another month. I got that going for me. Hashtag always a bright side. 103.7, the game. Yeah, I wasn't done yet. That's powered by golfballs.com. 103.7, the game. And 103.7thegame.com.
It was a test. You passed. And it's Friday. I got a little trigger happy. Sorry about that.
Right. I don't even know what that means, but okay.
I just push the button fast.
Got it. Got it, got it.
I can't rush the time. I guess we'll pass as it passes. I can't, no right. matter how soon right. I push
Has
the button.
Has it started to crawl? Is it me? Has it started to crawl?
I don't know.
We got it going up. But we got this. Is this the last week of who's going to the parade? Now we're back to crawfish boil after this?
I believe we have. And,
all right.
But now.
Right. We built it up to Mardi Gras.
We made a whole year at this point.
Right.
But we started with. We started with a barbecue.
Because it was probably summer.
Right.
Right.
And then we went to...
Tailgate. Right.
And then we had a crawfish boil
We had a crawfish boil
so
in
maybe
there
it
somewhere.
Started at crawfish boil and okay. then the barbecue, maybe?
All right. Maybe we went to the crawfish boil. All right.
But no imaging needed to be made this time around. I think that's all good to go. It's all... The voice is all there for everything.
It's all done. All right. Nice. So we'll have that coming up here in about 10 minutes. 706-0111. Again, all LSU programming tomorrow right here on 103.7 The Game. Again, starts off with the producers, a short but sweet half an hour edition. And then right into LSU basketball. Pregame show is 10:30. It's another 11 a.m. start. They can deal with that in Tuscaloosa. And then the pregame show for baseball is at 2:30. So if the basketball game... It's just 2+ hours. Figure that one out, Cody. 11 to 1. Maybe it goes a little bit longer. 1:30. Post-game show ends at 2. Somewhere along the way, you should do a longer post-game show and longer pre-game show. You really should go from network programming to network programming. But it is what it is. That's a different program. Sorry. All right. Cajuns, meanwhile, hosting the Terps. What's our rain forecast tonight, Cody? I mean, it is Mardi Gras, so we know what the rain forecast is. Rain.
Right, right.
Rain and cold.
For Acadiana, there's a 50-50 shot. So
all right.
That's for Acadiana. And I don't know about Austin. I don't know about that.
I saw let me see what I saw. They gave me some odd percentages for tonight. Let's see. Because I always, you know, slept in a little bit last night. I didn't get to bed till 10. So I slept until 3. And then, you know, the first thing you got to check out when you're planning on running outside is, you know, is it wet? Well, this has changed by now because this is not what it was. It says a 70% chance at 1 o'clock. And this is all moved up because it was bad for like 6 and 8 o'clock or maybe like 4 and 6 o'clock. But now it's supposed to rain early this afternoon and maybe this morning at 11 or 1, but then it clears up. Not supposed to rain 5. 7 or 9. There you go. That's good stuff. And then the sun is supposed to be out allegedly tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Been foggy the last couple of games, last couple of days. How was your drive in yesterday? Because when I got up, this is how quickly it came in. When I got up and went to the gym, hashtag humble brag, there was no fog. Half an hour to 45 minutes later, serious fog.
See, I've been. It must be mostly on your side in the mornings, then, because I mean,
south of I-10,
right? A little fog here and there, but not like what we had in like the middle of the winter on some of those mornings where it was like driving through, literally through a cloud. So it wasn't too bad. It hasn't been anything major this week for me, at least.
Yeah, a little bit foggy out. Now, a little bit wet last night.
It's been wet all week. You know what I mean?
It rained.
It seems to be raining a lot at night in the late afternoon, and then it just stays wet and then rains again the next afternoon.
Yeah, it did lighten up. Theo Sleiman said he didn't think he was going to be able to get the golf in, and, you know, it stopped long enough for them to do so, but still real wet out there.
Right.
Still real wet, which makes the course extra long. 706-0111, 706-0111. The ARCO equipment hotline, you want to give us a call. Again, the Cajuns, winners last night, 83-70. Did you put up, let's see what the Twitter poll question is. Did you put up that Twitter poll question? What was the Twitter poll question?
I'm putting it up now. It was, what's more impressive?
Oh, yes.
Duplantis' 23 RBIs.
That's
in eight
crazy
games,
talk.
Zero strikeouts.
Zero strikeouts. We do have one that I put up yesterday. And I guess I can. I got a couple yesterday. All right. Will Bryce Harper. Oh, you did this. You already did this. I can vote in this one. All right. Will Bryce Harper play half his contract with the Phillies? 6.5 years. I say no. 62% say yes. Let's see here. Kelly, I think he will, but he's still a bum. He's a rich bum. How many titles do you need to justify the contract? 56% say 2. 15% 3 or 4. 14% more than 4. See, I did that one, Cody, so, you know, there's no shut up, Dave. I'm not going to tell myself to shut up. I have a tough time with that question. What's a more impressive number? Let's see what the LSU baseball stats are, because, let's see who has a strikeout. Like, I know off the top of my head, Anson Molina kind of came around, but I know he's struck out a lot on the Cajuns baseball team. But let's see. Let's see here. Stats. 2019 season stats. Because I just don't think they've struck out a lot. They've struck out 48 times. They've walked 36. So who's got the strikeouts? Josh Smith has struck out 4 times. Cabrera 5. Zach Watson 5. Brock Mathis 6. Drew Bianco, freshman, 6 times. And how about Giovanni DiGiacomo? I met a Tony DiGiacomo. He handles a station in Charlotte. Told him we got one of your people on the team. Meaning your people, how do you say your last name? As I was so, informed by Paul Maneri. DiGiacomo, how about this one, Cody? 6 for 15. And he struck out 5 times. If he puts the ball in play, he's got a good chance of getting a hit.
And his build and playing style, he needs to be a contact guy, at least for now. He hasn't really developed much.
Speed guy.
Right.
Yeah. Speed guy.
But, I mean, I like, basically at this point, batting practice. Put the ball in play, kid.
Just put the ball in play. I mean, he's 6 out of 15 when he puts the ball in play, he's 6 out of 10.
And during the Southern broadcast.
Maybe even more because, the walks don't count in the ABs. And the hit-by-pitch doesn't either. So.
They were comparing him to Mark Laird, saying he was more of a Mark Laird type.
No. If he can go get it like Mark Laird, right?
As long as if he's going to do that, then he needs to – I mean, his average needs to stay
secondary.
There.
Secondary.
But, just run.
Average is secondary.
Just run. Hit it to the left side and run.
What was it? When I got here, Stevenson in center, Laird in right?
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then Laird moved over to center, and Duplantis was in right?
Right.
And on opening night, Duplantis' first game, he throws out somebody at the plate. And Bregman goes, finally, we got somebody in right field with an arm.
Mark Laird, I remember he used to throw with that stiff arm where it was like a whole top half rotation of your band. It's like, no, that's who taught you to throw like that?
Right. Yeah. That Bregman, you got to love when they, finally, we got somebody who can throw in right field.
Speaking of guys ribbing other guys, did you see what Will Wade did to Chris Blair?
Did you have that?
I can see if I can find it. I think Cody Worsham tweeted it
out. Cody Worsham did. Yeah. So it appears that Will Wade does his best to give Chris Blair a hard time.
I don't know if he's pulling a Cody or if I'm pulling a Will Wade. It's one of the two, but he's just trying to rouse up his host and see if he can get him to
suggested that. I can see you do. I can see it coming with you.
Right.
But I just wasn't quite sure how smart Chet was. So some of that was an act, and I didn't catch on.
Yeah, I got it.
That's
right
on
here.
Me. Let's see.
But obviously in the morning, the story was obviously Tremont Waters unavailable to go due to illness. First off, great to hear last night or yesterday that he is steadily progressing. Great to see him at the game last night against Texas A&M. But after
he's
hearing
better
the
news, when he's at the game in uniform.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Like he'll be Saturday.
I heard the news before the Tennessee game, and of course, immediately I think about his points.
You thought we were going to lose.
And just, no, I
didn't
say that.
That was your first thought. You thought, how are they going to win?
No.
That's what you thought.
But after I thought about...
You were really mad at me for not letting you in shoot around that day before.
No.
Now you know why.
No, I wasn't mad. No.
Kent was upset. Kent said, what are we doing, Coach? I said, Kent, I don't want anybody in this gym. I want this place cleared out. I made the custodians leave. I made everybody leave. There's nobody in there.
I had no problem with it. I just go and set my stuff up.
I told you got to come after to set your radio up.
That was fine. I was happy to do so.
Kent was heated.
But
and as soon as says that, and Will Wade just folds his arms and looks down at his feet to try not to laugh because he knows exactly what he just did.
Yeah. He's egging these guys on. And Kent's sitting out at the end of the table. He's sitting right there.
Right.
But here's the thing, right? If Chris, when he goes, when Will Wade tells Chris Blair, you thought we were going to lose. Right. What was your thought, Coach?
Right.
What are you thinking when Trey Waters isn't going to play against Tennessee? Right?
Script on him.
I'm sure you guys thought you were going to win, but I'm sure you didn't think it was going to be a little bit more difficult. Right? I mean, I thought they were going to win, but if you told me Trey Waters isn't going to play and Naz Reid's going to have one, that's a double-digit Tennessee victory. Right? Come on. Well, there's a reason that you closed the practice, Coach. There's a reason. It's not like they weren't going to be able to tell that Trey Waters wasn't on the floor in the first, minute and a half of the game. They figure it out. No. But a good job by Will having some fun at Chris Blair's expense. It's always good when you are given a hard time by the coaches because that's when they accept you. That's when the announcer knows, because they've only been together for a couple years, right? Year number two.
Right, and it's funny. You can see the whole time when Chris Blair's talking, he's reading. He's looking down in the video.
Right.
And so when Will Wade makes that first comment to him, you can see Chris Blair, react. He's like, I have more to read, but what did you – he has to look away from him. He's like, hold on, Coach. Right. it's funny.
Right. See, I would have done it the other way. Yeah. Well, what were you thinking, Coach?
See, I like when Pop does it in the NBA, on the sideline. Right before halftime, somebody will ask him a question, and he'll do kind of what you said, just ask the question back. So it's like, Coach, what'd you think about Tim Duncan's performance in the first half? What'd you think about it?
Or I thought the performance was very good. If you ask him an obvious question.
Two words.
So Sedano did that, right? And he asked, George Sedano did it. He was supposed to be at that conference and wasn't because he was doing sidelines for the NBA. So he asked Popovich whatever the question was. And he's like, Saddam's like, I feel like I'm ahead. You want to end it there? And Pop goes, well, I was looking forward to question number two. All right, we could do that. How closely were you monitoring so-and-so's minutes? Well, very closely. Thanks, Pop. And Pop laughed, right?
Because,
You gave him the answer in the question.
Right.
Instead of, how many minutes were you looking to give him? Wow. Well, the exact minutes that we did. You could ask him something different. But, as long as Pop is... enjoying himself. You feel like you come out of that.
Most of the time, he's not being mean or spiteful when he does that.
Now it's a shtick.
Yeah, it's
now
his gimmick.
It's a thing.
Exactly.
Now it's a thing. Before, it was kind of rude, but now everybody's in on it.
It's like the 69 here. Everyone gets it.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right, let's put a bow on it. Who's going to be at the Mardi Gras parades? Coming up on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game. All right, let's check out those Shut Up Dave poll questions. A good question. What's more impressive through eight games, Antoine Duplantis and his 23 RBIs or zero strikeouts? You know what? I'm going to say zero strikeouts. That's really impressive. That's really impressive. 23 strikeouts is, by the way, second in the nation. 23 strikeouts, second in the entire nation. Everybody saw that coming through eight games. Probably not good enough for LSU fans. How many players has he left on base? Why isn't he hitting 1,000?
He's already matched his career total in home runs
in home
this
runs,
season.
That's right. Right, right. He may, well, no, his season high. His career total is 6. He may get that too.
Oh, so he's halfway there.
He's halfway there, to his career total. That's right. He had 6 coming in. He's got 3 this year. All right. Special thanks to Vincent Hicks, David Thibodeau head coach. They're taking on STM again. Said it earlier. I was wrong. The game is at 7 p.m., 6:45 pregame show. We'll be there after a little Ruffino's on the River with Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love hosting. It's the BLT. The Ben Love Tour hits Ruffino's. You got a chance to win Astros tickets. Ruffin Rodriguez will be there. Trev Falk will be there. And the head coach of the Raging Cajuns football team, Billy Napier, will be there. Special thanks to Eitan Shander, 97.3 Atlantic City, talking Phillies, and Bryce Harper. Brody Miller on his way to Austin, talking LSU. And the big news came out yesterday, actually. Eric Walker, or a couple days ago, Eric Walker is going to be pitching on Sunday. So it's Hess, Marceau, and Walker. See if Marceau can bounce back after a shaky outing number 2. All right, let's find out. It is Mardi Gras weekend. We'll all be here on Monday. It'll be the best of Jordy, but we'll all be here on Monday. Cody demands that we work on Monday, but I put my foot down. We are not working Mardi Gras. Sorry, Cody.
No way I can change your mind. No shot.
Too bad, Cody. Too bad. So we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll be here Monday, off Tuesday, back on Wednesday. Let's find out who is going. We're all going to the parades this weekend, baby. Let's find out who else will be there.
It's time to find out who's going to the parade.
Setting up the court here is Smart. Just off the timeline, wants to work. Schofield on him defensively. Got a step, goes up, layup good. 25 points for Javonte Smart. Tigers on top, 77-75.
I just saw the last person on the list. I wonder where that could be. Javonte Smart and Skylar Mays really led LSU to the victory over Tennessee. What does Javonte Smart have, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
That's right. That's right. Dr. Mays. Whoop, I gave it away. He's up next.
I feel like we're really a part of something special. And I feel like this year and the year we're having is starting to look like the turning point of LSU basketball. Being a part of the downside of it and seeing the way this team is going and the fact that we haven't even peaked yet, it's something that I see as special.
I think they've done pretty well. That is going to be the future Dr. Skylar Mays. Is his father a cardiologist? Do we know what his father is? Someone said his father's a doctor. He wants to be a doctor. Good for him. All right, what about the head coach?
It's the first I'd heard of it. No. There's zero. He's our point guard. He's our guy. And, you know, he just wasn't able to go. And hopefully we'll have him back sooner rather than later. But, no, that's just crazy talk.
Crazy talk with the Trey Waters rumors. That's what happens when you say he's out with an undisclosed illness instead of just telling everybody, you know, he's got the flu. You know, it's not a big stretch that someone gets the flu around here in February. All right, who else is going to be there?
Manley 2-0 to the plate. Fly ball hit a long way to right field. That is way back, and out of here. Halfway up the bleachers, out in the diamond deck. And it's 5-0 LSU on Beloso's second home run of the season. Well, that was almost where he put the one in the Army game, wasn't it?
That was the game winner. Kay Beloso recruited to hit home runs and not to bunt. What does Kay Beloso have, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
That's right. All right, who's good else is going to be there?
Obviously, I'm happy that we've won all of our games. And, you know, I told you before the season when we were the preseason number one team, I thought that would be a good thing for us. It would put a little extra pressure on our kids. We always get everybody's best shot anyway. We know that. But when you're number one, you know, you read the other team's stories on their website, and then, you know, Raleigh falls just short against number one LSU. I mean, everybody's always referring to you as number one, and I thought that would help our team.
They may have to sweep Texas to remain that, but just to let you know, if you didn't notice, Vanderbilt lost to Austin Peay. Midweek game! World is crashing. All right, Paul Maneri will be at the parade. Who else is going to be there, Cody?
Waiters back to Wade. Wade can't get the shot up, just throws it up.
Got it! Dwayne Wade right at the buzzer! Oh, my! He fills up a prayer, and it is answered! And Miami wins it 126-125! And this is his house!
Woo! Banked it home. double pump, midair, prayer. Crazy. All right, Dwayne Wade. You know what Dwayne Wade has, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
That's right. Three NBA championships. Played in five. No. Yeah, played in five. 1-3. Played in five. All right, last one, Cody.
I blew all my money on hookers and cocaine.
Thank you so much.
I haven't purchased anything. I don't even know what to do at this point.
You give me some money if you want. That's Martin Traynor. We're gonna have to have that as a drop. Blew it all on cocaine and hookers. He's kidding. Martin Traynor gets his first win on the PGA Tour. I didn't see how he did yesterday at the Honda. All right, coming up. Rap game with RP3, then the Jim Rome Show. It will be the Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg. And then it'll be Bumper to Bumper Sports live. Ruffino's on the river. And then LSU at Texas baseball, 6:30 p.m. Please, everyone, have a happy Mardi Gras. Have a great weekend. We will be here on Monday. Keep it live and local all weekend long. 103.7 The Game.